And to that piece of lieutenant that's always on his podcast, bash us, him.
All right, everybody. Eric Dim, your most complained cop, NYPD. This is New York's Finest Retired and Filtered Podcast, bringing you 265 Police Live Series. Of course, with me is the founder and co-host of the podcast, John McKay, retired lieutenant. We got a good episode. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about the NYPD. They need to grow up. Their attack on media.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's been very well documented. I think we've documented and spoke about it enough on here that we've been getting attacked as members of now being media, basically. We're basically critics. We're police analysts. But, you know, the attacks have ramped up towards actual media at this point. So we saw some unprofessional tweets come out, an attack on Harry Siegel. Harry Siegel's a Daily News reporter. He's reported in, I believe, The Gothamist as well. I believe he's like a freelance journalist. Not too sure. I don't really know Harry at all. Never really interacted with him. And he reported on a story where I believe he said there were 10 murders in New York City subway when there were actually only four. And John Schell, Kaz Daughtry, and Michael Kemper went on a tear, actually name-calling him, telling him to go with his latte friends, actually calling him. And then from an unofficial NYPD, from the official NYPD news account, so we don't know who tweeted it, they called him Harry Deceitful Siegel.
I just want to describe that in a couple of words. Unprofessional, immature, ridiculous, absurd. Those are some of the words that I have for them. I have other words, but I can't say it on YouTube, and I can't say it in this podcast. I have other words for them. But ultimately, the police department has lost stoicism and professionalism. This is absurd that we have individual accounts from numerous weak upper management of the New York City Police Department with different messaging and speaking out in defense of their own egos in this immature manner. It's absolutely ridiculous. I think that it's harassment. It's completely threatening the media, and it's absolutely bullying tactics. I think that at no point should the upper echelon of the media be speaking out as individuals in separation of the police department in an unprofessional manner. This is some phenomenon that we've never seen before. John Schell, the chief of patrol, Michael Kemper, the chief of transit, Kaz Daughtry, the deputy commissioner operations, or the de facto police commissioner, are speaking out as if they were speaking out as themselves in some type of argument, almost like locker room talk. It's the most ridiculous thing we've seen. Unprofessional tweets and something they can't come back from. Especially, it's ironic that not too long ago we saw the Supreme Court case that said that they cannot delete their accounts and they're not supposed to delete the public information. So what are they forced to do at this time? Double down.
Absolutely. You know, and this was immediately after they attacked Solorian, the girl that sat down with Eric Adams on the Breakfast Club. I forget her name. I know her handle's at M Solorian.
Olamani.
Yeah, Olamani Solorian. It's immediately after they attacked her, and then went after Tiffany Caban. So, and when they went after Tiffany Caban, Shell said, and we read that on the last podcast, Shell said something along the lines of, I tell everybody to vote. And, you know, that's getting political. And now you're not apolitical. And that could be deemed electioneering. I don't know that it is or it isn't. But I know that calling people names, I know that being disrespectful towards people, I know that's unbecoming of an officer. I know that officers are held to a very high standard on social media, much higher than the average citizen. And what we see from them is they're acting like complete children. Mm-hmm. On top of that, they're acting like thugs, because you're attacking a member of the media from an official NYPD account, and it's coming from the most powerful people in the NYPD, the chief of patrol, the deputy commissioner of operations, the chief of transit. What do you think an average person, Eric, an average person, a reporter, I think we have pretty much thick skin. I think we're a little tougher than most, but I think it was very alarming what they did to us. But I think, you know, we've been in alarming situations before. I don't think the members of the media and the members of the public have the ability to handle the pressure that we do in the same way. What do you think about that? Do you think they do? Do you think it's the same? What do you think about? What do you think about the police department using official accounts to attack individual reporters?
Woo! I've been dying to answer the question. We've been dying to do this podcast. We've had such a busy week. We've been dying to speak on this, especially this. I mean, I think it's absurd. First of all, we were attacked. John and I were attacked for doing this podcast, trying to shut down our First Amendment speech. But we understand the civil lines of the police department, and we have thick skin, and we've been through a lot in our lives, and it would take a lot for us to buckle. But for the average citizen, the average person, especially media, journalists, and their job is to critique and put out the opinions for the public that don't understand the civil lines of the police department, it must be frightening for them. I mean, John, you and I talked about this offline several times. I said, could you imagine we weren't police officers and you had the chief of patrol tweeting bullying tactics to you and you were just some lonely journalist? It would be frightening. I mean, you probably have sleepless nights. You might be waking up in a sweat wondering if they're going to come to your door. You don't know what's coming. You have no idea. I mean, you have the weight of the largest police department, not just in the entire country, in the entire world, coming down on you for your opinion. And that must be scary and frightening. For us, it doesn't buckle us. We're not scared because we understand the police department and we know that it's egos over everything when it comes to this police department. And we know the truth of what really goes on from the inside out in comparison to these journalists. I think it must be frightening for them. I actually put this on Twitter and some people might think I'm absurd for saying it, but I think this is some form. It's an act of terror. When you try to, not just through violence, but when you try to change someone's political ideology and try to suppress their First Amendment speech, that's an act of terror. You're trying to change your ideology through intimidation tactics. And let's be honest, it's intimidating when the New York City Police Department is having a personal attack on your journalism.
I mean, I'm going to agree with you. I don't know necessarily say I would use the word terrorism. But I would say it's criminal, 1,000%. I would say it's 100% criminal for a law enforcement agency to try to control your speech, to try to bully you into what stories you're going to write, what narratives they want you to push. And for them to actually go out and Eric Adams go out there and say that he basically empowered them to go out and fight misinformation, especially coming from an organization that spread misinformation for the last 3 months, that crime was down in 2023, you know, and they themselves are spreading misinformation when in fact crime was up in 2023 and they just upgraded a ton of crimes and they're not done yet, by the way. So crime's actually up significantly. So for 2 years in the Eric Adams administration, crime has been up both years. So crime is down narratives at complete misinformation. So now the people that have been spreading misinformation along with the mayor are now going to police misinformation, right? So what Harry wrote was wrong. It wasn't any more wrong or any less wrong than when John Schell tweeted out the wrong judge's name. But he just blew that off. That wasn't no big deal. And again, it wasn't his fault. You know, he checked with all of his people. You know, he ultimately tweeted, so he's a big boy and he'll take the responsibility. But, you know, but that they are going to be the arbiters of truth when they can't hold up the truth themselves. I mean, it's completely disturbing. And what they're saying is we're pushing back at the anti-police media. But when they say that, they're saying that myself and Eric are anti-police. I would 100% agree to the fact that Oldiemi Solorian could be considered anti-police. I mean, from her stances, she sounded very anti-police to me. I believe her and myself and Eric are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Harry Siegel, I really don't know. I'd be honest with you, I really don't know if he is. They made John Schell then went on to make the accusation that he writes for the Gothamist, another leftist anti-police paper. I mean, this is something. It's getting borderline. It's not borderline. I mean, I let me take that back. Exactly what they did to us, minus a mobster threatening us, minus their children being threatened, and minus a captain, two lieutenants, and numerous others from the CRT team identifying themselves and basically telling us to stop podcasting while they're at work on overtime. Besides those things, it's exactly the same thing. You're trying to bully the media, the free press. You do not believe in the free press. That's what I see.
You know what's quite interesting? So yesterday we had a great guest on here for our fan supporters out there. When you have an opportunity, that episode will be released. Or if it hasn't, it might be released already before this podcast. So we had a guest on here, Mighty Fuzz Young, who defends and supports the U.S. Constitution. And it's interesting. We've talked to him online and offline, and usually the topic comes up, do police officers really understand their oath? So the same thing goes for the upper echelon of the New York City Police Department. Do they understand their oath, the oath that they take to the U.S. Constitution? And I say that because it's kind of ironic, right? Because these media personnel, they're actually pretty critical of the police department, not just the upper echelon, but they're also critical of the rank and file. And a lot of the stuff that they say is kind of anti-police rhetoric. However, I'm supporting their right to free speech, because that is in support of the U.S. Constitution. That's their First Amendment right. They have a right to First Amendment speech. They have a right to freedom of expression, especially being journalists. And the fact that the upper echelon, the New York City Police Department, that especially coming from the police commissioner down to some of these chiefs, they're the ones that actually have new recruits in the police academy swear an oath to the Constitution, but they don't know the oath themselves. They violated the oath. And they've tarnished the New York City Police Department. They've tarnished that iconic shield. They have violated the oath. And I don't think they really understand what they've done here. And again, I've said it before, not only have they not taken ownership of this mistake, but they've doubled down on this mistake at the behest of Mayor Eric Adams. And it goes to say, with everything I usually stand on, my position is an organization thrives by leadership, but it also crumbles by leadership also. And we see the crumbling police department under Mayor Eric Adams, the leadership of Mayor Eric Adams.
So I think we've been very critical of the upper echelon, like completely critical of the upper echelon and Eric Adams. But I'm going to say I don't think that we've been critical enough, because I think this was the most disturbing stuff that I've seen recently. This is like, I'm like, yeah, we need immediate change. This is trying to install state-run media. It's trying to shut down the voices of not only a small little podcast with two retired lieutenants speaking on it, but papers, Daily News, New York Post, Gothamist, The City, any paper in New York City, basically. They don't want you writing about the police department. Don't say crime's up, because crime's actually down. I'm sure Craig McCarthy, who just wrote the article showing, and Sam Antar, and a big shout out to Sam Antar. We're going to get him on there, because Sam Antar is the one that actually revealed that they changed the numbers in secret for 2023, upgraded, and crime's actually up for 2023. So, but now if you make any, and you can't make a mistake, you have to be perfect. In years past, do I think that Harry Siegel needed to redact that story? Absolutely. Do I think that the NYPD should have went on social media and said those numbers are inaccurate? We only have had four murderers. Please retract your story. Absolutely, I do. Do I think they had to do it in the manner that they did it? Absolutely not. And I got another thing. They're hiding behind the death of Jonathan Diller as to why they're doing it. And it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And it's unhinged. You know why it's unhinged? Because they're saying they can't hold their tongue because a news article came out with improper crime stats. They can't hold their tongue then. They can't control their emotions behind a cell phone on Twitter. But yet we have cops that immediately after that respond to 20 to 30 jobs a day that witnessed everything they did, that feel the same gravity of the weight of the death of a police officer that they did, and they're going to jobs every night and they're expected to be absolutely perfect, and they can't even control their emotion on a cell phone. They're an embarrassment.
Yeah, I think it's, first of all, it's absolutely disgusting and despicable. I think there's some feedback here. Is it good enough? I think it's absolutely disgusting and despicable that the New York City Police Department, especially from Kaz Daughtry, we have a clip and we're going to play it later. But in this clip, it's just disgusting how he utilizes the death, not honoring, but the death of a police officer who's now posthumously promoted to detective, talking about the particulars of his death, which I just think is shameful to his wife and his family, the pain that they're already experiencing in the death of Jonathan Diller. Talking about particulars of their hospital experience with him to redirect the attention to themselves, the fact they've been attacked in the media, to have some type of empathy and compassion for them because the death of a police officer. That's absolutely disgusting. And yet exactly what you said, police officers had to go out and continue to do their job the same night, the next day. And they're held to a different standard than what the upper echelon of the New York City Police Department is. They're still held to a standard to be the most perfect human beings, critiqued by the New York City Council and especially the Civilian Complaint Review Board. And how do I know that? Because I myself, when Detective Mora and Detective Rivera were savagely executed on a domestic, I was actually going through an administrative trial through the Civilian Complaint Review Board, and that was not postponed because of the death of those two fantastic detectives. It was not postponed. That trial still continued. But yet, we have the upper echelon of the New York City Police Department using the particulars of this death to find compassion for them, to mislead the public from their faults and their terrorizing bully attacks to journalism. I think this is absolutely ridiculous. It's disgusting. I never thought I would see something like this. I can't believe what we're seeing. It's just every day we look at press conferences and we look at the papers and the Post, and just to see the stuff that this weak upper management is doing, it's like Jack in the Box. I wake up, it's like, oh, what's next? What are they doing today? And sure enough, they never disappoint.
The complete morons. But again, I blame the media. I blame the media because, listen, they're listening to this right now, right? You guys listen to this podcast, right? I'm sure you just wanted to write stories. You brought it to your editor. And what did we say on here months ago? If they're doing it to us, expect it to happen to you. And what are you going to do then? And look, here it is. Here it is. And what are you going to do? My suggestion, do exactly what we did. File complaints and seek legal action. And maybe we should all seek a class action together, because this is absolutely unacceptable in America to have a law enforcement agency think they're going to dictate what anyone's going to say out of their mouth or write about or talk about or anything else. Absolutely, completely un-American, unacceptable. This is Stalinistic. Again, I think it's this numbskull Kaz Daughtry who has proven time and time again that he should not be in leadership. And this video, honestly, is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. But before we get into that, I also want to go on the anti-police narrative, right? Oh, we're just attacking anti-police journalists. Mike Colone, he runs Mike in New Haven podcast. Mike has interviewed every former police commissioner. He's interviewed every former fire commissioner. He interviews cops. He interviews firemen. He loves law enforcement. He loves fire service. He loves EMS. He is a great person by all means. Now, myself and Eric, we're all over social media while they were attacking people, telling them to grow up, telling them this is unbecoming. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing the department. Stop doing this. But they doubled down time and time again, and they kept doing it. So Mike writes articles too. And Mike wrote an article, should go to him, Mike Colone Media, I believe is his website, where he writes articles, he puts his podcasts on, and he wrote, which we titled this episode, Memo to NYPD Brass, Grow Up. And I believe he nailed it on the head. He wrote the article. It was just his perspective. He showed the tweets. He said why he thinks they're unprofessional, why it's unbecoming, that they should grow up. And what happens? John Schell responds to Mike on LinkedIn. And this is what John Schell says. Oh, Mr. Colone, where do I start? This is a very direct attack. I wonder who put you up to this? ? You seem like you recovered nicely from being bullied. So now Mike writes in the article how he was bullied as a child, and he speaks about that often, about how he was bullied and he found his path basically reporting on emergency services. And now he's getting bullied again by the chief of patrol, who is a bully and a coward. And he continued, and I'll finish this. Anyway, I have an idea. get used to it or stop reading what I post. The rest. I did some research. I will consider the source. Good day. Eric, what do you think about that numbskull statement?
Well, so we spoke to Mike right away after this comment, and clearly Mike is confident that he thinks that they're talking about us. They're talking about John and myself. They're talking about New York's Finest Retirement Filter podcast. But let's make it clear. We didn't put him up to anything. Mike is a grown man, and, you know, up to this point, what Mike does is he memorializes the careers of law enforcement, firefighters. I think he does a fantastic job. I think he has just a love for emergency first responders. I went on Mike's show, and he was nothing but a gentleman memorializing my own career. And he really takes a position he stands on this, that he doesn't get involved into the politics of it. He just enjoys memorializing careers and talking about cop stories and firing stories. I mean, honestly, he just shows so much honor. And at this point, I believe for Mike to write this article, he was disheartened to see this because he has such a love and such an affinity for law enforcement, especially the NYPD. And yet he's seeing right now, I'm sure it just disgusts him. And he put out that article because it's true. He's seeing a complete other side of the New York City Police Department. And it goes against everything that he sees and loves about the police department. And just to see this attack on him, it just shows that anyone that it's not against going up against law enforcement. It's anyone that goes against the ego of John Schell and Kaz Daughtry will be attacked. And that's what this is about. Egos over everything. That's what I've been saying lately. Egos over everything. When it comes to the New York City Police Department, the upper echelon, including Mayor Eric Adams, it's egos over everything. Egos trumps public safety. Egos trumps professionalism. Egos trumps stoicism. This is absolutely absurd what we're saying. Mike, if you have an opportunity to watch this, I'm telling the public right now, we did not put him up to that. Mike is a grown man. He's a gentleman, and he's an intellect. He's an academic. He's a very smart guy. He puts on a great show. And Mike, I thank you for everything that you do, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. And I think you said it from a place of love. It's tough love. Let them know they need to cut it out and cut the shit and stop and start acting like the professionals that you view them as, the perception that you have of first responders, what you expect to see. And these bullying tactics is just despicable. And I can't believe that they never take ownership and stop, and they just double down and they keep doing it. So who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop this? And that's why I agree with John is saying, just as we did, file a complaint, and at some point we'll join forces. And I believe that. I say opposition meets opportunity, but now there's no opposition anymore. We're all part of journalism. John, you said something earlier about who's actually media. We are media too. They're actually they're legit journalists. But you know what? We're all media here because we speak our First Amendment right. We speak our opinions and our perspective. So we're going to have to join forces, and at some point, we'll have to take action together.
And I'm sorry. Are we afraid to comment or write our own article about you, that we would put another journalist up to it, that we would ask Mike to write an article about you? Do you think I'm shy to just go on Twitter and retweet what you wrote or write something directly to you? Like, we'll do it. We'll do a podcast about it and talk about it. I didn't put Mike up to anything. I have met Mike a while ago. I've never even been on his show. I believe Eric was on his show. I believe because I am very polarizing. And he does have a great relationship with a lot of people in law enforcement that don't particularly like me, which is fine. And that's fine to me. But I would never put anybody up to say something that I think needs to be said. I would do it myself. The same goes for Eric. So the fact that you jump on him and do that and then try to say, oh, you're pushing back on anti-police media, and you try to paint this kid as he's anti-police as well, it just shows to your integrity, to the type of person you are, to the type of courage you have, to the type of level of care and understanding you have for people, and the maturity that you have, that you could even take any type of criticism. It's my opinion you should be removed immediately as the chief of patrol. Kaz Daughtry should be removed. Mike Kemper is probably the most level-headed person there. And even him, he jumps around and he's following and tweeting what he's told to do. But you, John, you should go first. Absolutely. But, you know, I see the way it's working. You're going to be the chief of department soon. Kaz Daughtry and Tariq Shepard, they'll be up top, right? That's how it looks to me. Kaz Daughtry also responds to Michael. Mike, I gather from your message that you're not accustomed to this leadership team responding to direct attacks. from individuals like yourself. I don't know what individuals like yourself is, Mike, but maybe Kaz Daughtry does know. Maybe you should file a complaint as well and see what he specifically means, individuals like yourself, right? Very derogatory statement right there. Specifically, you seem to take issue with my new role as deputy commissioner. I must tell you, I is Kaz Daughtry's favorite word, by the way, which we'll come to find out later. I believe I am adjusting quite well to my new responsibilities. Good for you, Kaz. One of the best aspects of my professional transition from a first grade detective to a deputy commissioner, right? From what we learned, is from the sergeant's driver to deputy commissioner, but is the new clarity and understanding I've gained regarding the needs and concerns of our personnel. The rank and file are calling for someone to speak up for them. And I strongly believe that's where one of my greatest contribution lies. Actually, I think it's your biggest weakness, and I think you're trying to emulate me and Eric. But apparently, this administration saw something in me. Even my ability to affect the transformative change that's needed for the department. I am committed to utilizing cutting-edge technology to benefit our department, as well as improving the quality of life for our officers. As long as I'm in this position, I promise our cops will have a voice. They will have a stalwart supporter. Kaz doesn't even know what stalwart means. Kaz, please look it up in the dictionary, because they didn't teach me or you in Excelsior. Who's not afraid to stand up for them. Michael, you don't know me personally. You may not be aware of the hours I spend on the phone with John Shell, Jeff Madry, Tariq Shepard, Tanya Kinsella, Michael Kepper, and the Honorable Police Commissioner Caban, mulling over ways to keep New Yorkers safe. I consider it an honor and a privilege to serve at Commissioner Caban's police department. Furthermore, I assure that we will rigorously refute any media reports that disseminate inaccurate information. Mike wrote an opinion piece. Eric, what do you think about that?
Loser. First of all, that solidifies and legitimizes everything that I just said. I've been saying, and you say it too, that the deputy commissioner operations, the police commissioner, chief of patrol, they're supposed to represent the patch, the New York City Police Department, as we, as a whole, as an organization. But it's egos over everything. Who is Kaz Daughtry talking about in this tweet? Kaz is talking about me. He's not talking about the New York City Police Department. He's talking about him. I do this. I do that. Do I think that in their positions, they have a right to represent the police department and defend the police department? Yes. Should he be defending Kaz Daughtry? Absolutely not. They could defend the police department with data in a professional and stoic manner. But what they're doing is defending themselves because, again, it's egos over everything. Mike, I recommend, also Harry Siegel, anyone else that might have been attacked on media by this weak upper management, to file a complaint with the Civilian Complaint Review Board. And if you don't, I know the Civilian Complaint Review Board watches this. You have the power right now, the Civilian Complaint Review Board, to self-initiate a case. This should be a self-initiated case of discourtesy. That is in your purview. This is completely discourteous to the public. If you, the Civilian Complaint Review Board, decide to now speak out and put out a tweet or put out something, you will be subjected to these bullying tactics also. So this needs to be addressed immediately. This is absolutely despicable. Kaz, you're supposed to represent the New York City Police Department, not yourself. I'm tired of seeing you. Absolutely disgusting. You are an absolute loser. I was trying to say that we're not going to make this personal and not talk bad about you and give you a chance and give you an opportunity to grow into this role, but you've shown me nothing but disappointment. You absolutely are not a reflection of the same police department that John and I were. Absolutely not. This is a new police department that you're running. You and along with your other cohorts need to be removed immediately. And if not, at least your social media accounts have to be stripped from you as soon as possible.
And FYI, this is not Ed Caban's police department. This is the New York City Police Department. It was here before Ed Caban. It'll be here way after him. It'll be here way after any of you. It's not your police department. It's not your police officers. It's not your men and women. It's not I. It's absolutely ridiculous. And Eric, I'm going to even push back on what you said. This is way bigger than a CCRB. That CCRB, 100% you should call CCRB after you call IAB. After you call internal affairs, after you call DOI and tell them that this this appointed management team violated the city charter. They're pushing back and they're trying to stop your First Amendment abilities. This is a criminal act, what they're doing. It's absolutely criminal. It's wrong. It's disgusting. It needs to stop immediately. It absolutely needs to. What country would we have if police departments are going to dictate what people are writing? Right? You're going to push back. And if you don't like it, we're going to bully you. And what else? You're going to send your goons to write summonses to them, to write summonses to their parked car? What else are you going to do? Because I'll tell you right now, I said it before, I don't trust you guys at all. I mean, just by looking at your histories in the police department, I mean, you all have a big problem with telling the truth. So I'm supposed to trust that if we have an encounter, that the truth will be told. I don't trust any of that. I don't trust any of you people. You're absolutely disgusting. This is absolutely wrong and disgusting. And I agree with you 100%, Eric. Everybody should file every complaint to the high heavens. They're trying to stop your First Amendment ability, and they're trying to control what is written about the New York City Police Department. Eric Adams gave it up in that interview. He said it. I can't help what the media I don't control puts out. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to have these idiots control the media, and they're just dumb enough to do it.
Well, shout out to our brother out there. I know you're watching this, Sal Greco. Sal Greco recently was on a Twitter space where he said, and he said it a couple of times, I said, you know what? He's right. He said the New York City Police Department is acting like a police department in a third world country. They're representing the political leaders of a Marxist society just like in a third world country. I never thought we would see the actions like this from the New York City Police Department. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's narcissistic. It's a Marxist ideology. For them to say I and defend themselves, it just shows how weak their egos are. And again, I that's why I say it's an act of terror, and terror is a crime. I think this is absolutely a crime. I think this needs to be addressed immediately. The FBI, the Civilian Complaint Review Board, DOI, everyone needs to look at this. And you and I have exposed how the Internal Affairs Bureau is just completely flawed for the New York City Police Department. Because even with an Internal Affairs complaint, who is this ultimately going to be signed off by and addressed? Why? The Honorable, as Kaz Daughtry said, the Honorable Police Commissioner Ed Caban. So this is a flawed system. So this absolutely has to go to a higher authority. If you're watching this, which I know you are, Kaz Daughtry, John Schell, and Michael Kemp yourself also, because you're not saying anything. You're allowing this. That's cowardice. How could you do this? You know that that for the New York City Police Department, there are rules and there are policies of social media. You are supposed to be stoic and professional, and you've lost it. But yet you expect the police officers that are out on the beat on a daily basis to have a different standard than yourself and to not be susceptible to the Civilian Complaint Review Board while they're addressing the most violent perpetrators out there. But yet you can't handle criticism on social media from the comfort of your office at One Police Plaza. Sickening. This is disgusting.
No, ego over everything. That's exactly what it is. Ego over everything. And then he made a statement. I could tweet and fight crime, John Schell said. I could tweet and fight crime. No, you can't. You guys are spending all day on social media. I mean, just that stupid thing when I put out the tweet about the controller. Kaz spent all day doing that. He made a video. He reframed his tweet. I mean, they're spending hours drafting this stuff, talking about this. This is the majority of their day. And then they're pushing back using the murder of a police officer. Oh, you got to understand, we just had a police officer murdered, so we're going to push back. Whoa, you guys, so what? So what, the cop on the street could go punch somebody in the face because they just had a cop murdered? No. The cop on the street can't even say F at the height of his adrenaline flowing through the roof and you not come after him. So it's completely weak. It's completely egotistical. And you're right. It is. Sal Greco's right. It is reminiscent of a third world country, because what did they do? They lied to you for months. Even after they knew crime wasn't down for 2023, they continued to go up there and say, we brought crime down for 2023. They're complete liars. And that's another thing that I believe should be illegal. That's another thing why I believe these men shouldn't be in office, because they clearly have no integrity. They'll get up and lie to the public. They'll lie to everyone's face, right? And even the celebration of crime is down. Well, You guys could correct me if I'm wrong, but crime was either down 0.32% or 0.38%. It was one of those, maybe 3.6. But you guys feel free, contact me anytime. Let me know. I'll retract the story and I'll put the exact number. Maybe it was 0.35%, but it was in that range. And they were bragging that crime was down. They talk about misinformation. They're the biggest spreaders of misinformation that I've seen in a very long time, other than when during the mandates when they were spreading those lies as well.
Well, what do we know? Definitely that the upper management, the New York City Police Department, is of low integrity at this time. We just had a great guest on here, by the way, for our fans that are out there. His name is Hector Bravo, and he was a correction lieutenant in the California state prisons. He's all the way on the West Coast in California, and we had him on here the other day. Fantastic guest. He did a great interview, but it was amazing. If you close your eyes, if you just listen, and you take away the New York accent, his experience was mirroring ours, and it's unfortunate. We're starting to see that it's spill into different parts of the country. And we all agreed that in order for an organization to crumble, as the organization, just like the New York City Police Department, are crumbling throughout the country with weak upper management, you need low integrity, because he saw in his organization also. And we're seeing the police department, which is iconic and the mentor to other police departments throughout the country, just completely deteriorate. And there's no vision, there's no leadership. And just the unprofessionalism, it's unbecoming of a police officer, it's unbecoming of a human being to treat other human beings in this manner. We're talking about the U.S. Constitution. Journalists, or just everyday people, you are public figures. They have a right to be critical of the New York City Police Department, even if it's in opposition. And again, just like John said, if their facts are inaccurate, you're the professional. Just present the facts. That's all it is. That's all you have to do is say, listen, you are open to your opinions. We appreciate it. But here are the facts in regards to this specific data. And keep it at that. And you will find you will get much more respect from the public. And you will get respect from this podcast also. But what we see now is just absolutely disgusting, seeing the police department just spin on its head. This is a complete epic fail. All I have to say is this. The leadership of the NYPD needs to be replaced immediately. But in order for that to happen, we need new leadership. So unlike you, John Schell, I could say it. You have next vote. Your next vote counts. John Schell, for you, you shouldn't be saying that while you're in uniform on social media. You're supposed to remain apolitical. And again, shout out to Sal Greco, because he was wrongfully terminated for apparently not being apolitical. But you are completely violated your oath, and you don't see it. And if you're going to be the chief of the department, New York City is sure in trouble. Honestly, we are headed for some dark times.
Yeah, and he works for an anti-police mayor. He works for a progressive mayor who supported every piece of legislation that the New York City Police Department is suffering because of. And he fails to acknowledge that while they pretend to be Donald Trump on Twitter. It's hysterical. I mean, I don't know. Did you think he told Eric Adams that he's going to vote for Donald Trump? Has Sid Rosenberg's good friend, Michael Kemper, told Mayor Adams that he's voting for Donald Trump? Because Eric Adams, this mayor, he supports open borders. He supports the free flow of crime, of fentanyl coming in, sex slaves, sex trafficking, gangs, terrorists. He supports all of it. So I guess John Schell does too, right? I guess Michael Kemper does too, right? Sid, did you ask Michael Kemper today when he was on the show? I don't think so, right? Nobody asked him, you know? And that's my biggest problem with these guys, is they're politically confused. They want to pretend like they're conservative, pro-law enforcement people. And they're not. They're the furthest thing from it. They're the most politicized department I've ever seen. Bill de Blasio's police department was so much better run than this one. It's not even funny. Bill de Blasio, Comrade Bill, who you never had to worry about where Bill de Blasio was. You knew he was directly against anything with the Constitution, anything that stood for America, anything that was in the police department. He stood against it all, but at least you knew where he stood. And his police department actually ran like a police department, as opposed to Eric Adams' police department, which runs like an arm of a communist party. Like, this is absolutely disgusting. Eric, should I play the video? Because I think we need to, or do you want to talk about the video first? Because I think this video, for me, is the most disgusting thing I've seen out of anyone in this administration ever. And I'm like, I almost threw up watching it. And I think everyone told me the same thing.
I just want to say before you play that video, I was perturbed. And honestly, I was upset by what I heard, because I was shocked that even Kaz Daughtry, as egotistical and immature he is, that he would actually go so low to use the details of the horrific death of a fellow brother.
Murder.
Just use the details when it's so fresh, knowing that his wife is going to hear this. And I couldn't believe it. I was really upset to hear, like, how could you go so low to do whatever you can in your power to mislead the public from, you know, to deflect the eyes on you, to get compassion and empathy off a cop's murder? I couldn't believe it. Honestly, I didn't expect this. I expect this immaturity of professionalism, but this was just far low. This is evil. Sal Greco, I guess I can't stop mentioning your name today, because you've said a couple things, because you've been so expressive and of what's been going on with you. And you said they're godless. I think you're right. Honestly, they're evil. So you might as well go right to it. And for anybody that's going to watch this, this is going to perturb you also and really upset you.
I'm going to play in 1 second. I'm just going to read the tweet for the people that are on audio. So Kaz Daughtry posts this on Instagram. He posts this on Twitter. The loss of Detective Jonathan Diller continues to affect the masses who loved him. A husband, a son, a father, a friend, a partner. The grief remains, but our office is carrying on, running toward danger when on-duty calls. Their service is a living legacy to John. Rest assured, this administration will continue to support them, back them, and defend them. And then he tags everyone in the upper echelon of the police department. But I just want to highlight that on this tweet, he actually gets 25,000 views on this video, which is pretty high for the amount of followers he has. He has 12,000, which is almost double the amount I have. And I normally get close to 100,000 on my videos. So I was curious to see who was actually retweeting this. And when I looked, it was all official accounts of the New York City Police Department, which leads me to believe that they were all told that they need to retweet this, because it was all the precinct Twitter handles. It was all this. So again, it wasn't because of this tweet. Listen to what he talks about in this. It's highly disturbing. It's unprofessional. It's a slap in the face to the family. It's a slap in the face to every cop in New York City. It's a slap in the face to New York City residents. And it shows completely how immature and unhinged you are, that you can't read a newspaper article and not have a reaction, but you expect these people to be perfect in the face of danger, running towards danger, even after one of their friends was just murdered. Nobody cares about you. Nobody. Here's the video.
I just want to talk about my tweet and why I said what I said. I do believe, you know, everybody has a job to do. I do believe in for freedom of the press, free press. I understand that, but you know, when we arrived at the hospital, when we got word that Officer Diller was shot. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but being in the room, seeing the doctors rip his stomach open, hearing the doctors saying that they're massaging his heart, seeing a grieving family walk into the hospital. Dr. Eli Kleinman telling us that they finally got him back. They have a pulse. They have a heartbeat. We were extremely optimistic. Everyone in the hospital was optimistic. 30 minutes later, they came back that Officer Diller had passed away. I almost feel that I'm sort of responsible because I, myself, Chief Shell, Chief Madry, was the one that created the CRT team. If we didn't create this team, would Officer Dilla still be here? Attending the funeral services for Detective Diller now. Seeing his young son looking at the tears coming out of Stephanie's, you know, out of her eyes. The whole family, just the pain that that family was experiencing made me think back of my own son, my daughter. Hearing Stephanie eulogize her husband, a father, a son with no father, a wife with no husband, then going outside the church and standing on a line with Les LaPierre and seeing Ryan reach to the casket because that's the last memory that he believes that his father's at. Helicopters flying over, bagpipes playing. Then I get home. My daughter asks me, "Why are you crying, Daddy?" My six-year-old son asks me, "Do you have a boo-boo?" Then I look on, then I look at my text messages and I see an article written by Harry bashing us on a day we just buried one of our brothers. And I felt the need to speak up on behalf of my cops now.
You know, first of all, again, that's why I said I watch this and I'm so perturbed and upset by it. It's just disgusting. It's so low and evil. What do we hear? Again, I'm going to pound this into people's heads and they're going to keep saying it because that's what's happening. Egos over everything. All we hear is my tweet. Why did I say this? I created this unit. This is so self-serving. This is complete deflection from the mishap, from the mistakes that they made, the attack on the media, the attack on Harry Siegel in this particular case, but of course, Mike Colon and this podcast, and I'm sure there's other people that they bullied that we've missed. But to use the murder of Jonathan Diller to describe the incidents of his hospital, the path in the hospital, and then talk about his experience with his own kids in comparison to Jonathan Diller's son, this is just so low to deflect the fact that they are unprofessional, childish, and just evil when it comes to the public. This is disgusting. This is the lowest I've ever seen. And to him to compare and your son asking you if you had a boo-boo, I can't believe what I'm hearing right now. This is so evil. This is the last time I'm going to watch this clip. I don't even want to watch it again. It just makes me angry, and it should make everyone angry. And for him to try to deflect and say that he put that tweet because he's defending the cops. Harry Siegel wasn't talking about what the police work, what the cops are doing. He's talking about the upper management, not the rank and file. I'm disgusted, John. You could talk. I'm sorry.
No, it's absolutely disgusting. I agree with you. I don't ever want to hear that clip again. That's the last time I'll ever hear it because it's absolutely disgusting. I won't listen to it ever again because it honestly enraged me. And I got it over and 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 over again from everyone saying, I can't believe that he put this out and he made everybody retweet this. Him. Not the message. Him. And sitting there and saying how he couldn't handle seeing an article of Harry Siegel bashing us. Is it bashing to give the wrong statistic? Is that bashing? Or is that just writing an article? Is that just a free press? He starts off what he believes in the free press. But I don't, everything that he's done for the last 6 months doesn't lead me to believe that he believes in free press at all. I mean, again, I said it about Eric Adams and I'll say it about Kaz Daughtry. If he had the power to, myself and Eric Dim and Sal Greco would be beheaded if he could. He'd bring us in and behead us because he would be mad over a meme that was made or a podcast we did or an article that we wrote. Or maybe he would just be jealous because people like us and they don't like him. because the only people that know that like him are young, impressionable guys that don't know any better, right? And that's why he surrounds himself with young, impressionable guys. Look what I can do for you. Look at me. Nobody's sticking me in a locker anymore. Now I'm from the hood. Now I'm a street kid. Does he look like a street kid to you? Does he sound like a street kid to you? Because he doesn't sound like one to me.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I've worked in rough neighborhoods, and I lived in rough neighborhoods myself. And I knew people just like Kaz Daughtry. They were never outside. He was locked in his room. Sure, he was probably playing PS5. So the only view that he had to understand of the hood, when he says the hood, he talks about his hood, was through his window. Because that's about it. To actually understand life. If you actually understood life and understood the ghetto and the hood and the detrimental crimes that happen, you wouldn't speak in the manner that you're speaking right now. You would be much more humble and understand the veracity of these types of experiences and how you affect people's emotions when you speak in this manner. And he lacks that team ideology. It's all about him. My tweet, I did this, I created it. Even while he's talking about supposed sorrow, he's also boosting and boasting that he created this unit. He tried to make it seem like, you know, could it be the cause of his murder? But really what he's doing is he's boasting that he created this unit, that he wanted to make sure that it gets out to the public, that look what I did. That's what this was. Look, I did this. Look what I did. This was very self-serving, and I believe that he shows traits of being just completely narcissistic. I honestly don't even know what to say anymore. I can't believe they went there. I can't believe that nobody said this is come on, this is too much, this is too far. And then for almost the entire police department to retweet that, there's not one person that stood up and said, wait a minute, this is enough, this has to stop. No one has the fortitude to stand up against these guys. They're, you know, that extra bump in rank or that little pay is worth this? Have we gotten to that point? Are there no John McCarries out there to stand up against moral principle? Are there no Eric Dim, Sal Greco's? This is it? There's no more men left in this police department? I'm just beside myself. Honestly, I don't even know what to say anymore.
Absolutely disgusting. It was absolutely disgraceful to the family. Absolutely disgraceful to the entire New York City Police Department. They are a shame on the entire department. An absolute shame. And I find it very funny that for days we haven't had anything, right? No more retweets, no more talking about who's a BMS warrior, who forgot where they came from, Eric's an idiot, Sal's an anarchist. You know, all the nonsense is gone now, right? All that's gone. Couldn't say a word, you know, and so I just kept asking them, when are you going to retract the story that crime was down for 2023? But they didn't want to combat that misinformation, right? They didn't want to have that conversation, right? They were all for transparency until they get caught with their hands on this cookie jar, you know, and they knew that whole time that crime wasn't down. And now, because of their lies, you're going to see crime rise because, yes, is crime slightly down now as they deploy 1,000 cops into the subways, as the National Guard's out? Yeah, crime is slightly down, but crime overall is trending up so hard, it's not funny. And if you look at the overall crime, because what do? They go by the week, they go by a 7-day period, they go by a 28-day period. Look at these drastic drops we have in crime. But when you look at the real actual drop in crime year to date, it's a mediocre number that will, by the end of the year, be beaten. Same way we're predicting in 23 is the same thing that's going to happen in 24. They've changed nothing. None of the legislation's changed. And this isn't a knock on them particularly. It's not their fault. Crime is not totally their fault. The arrests are being made. Right? The arrests are being made, but there's zero follow through. And they talk about the other stakeholders is the term that Michael Kemper likes to use. The other stakeholders, but they never point fingers. They never tell you that whatever, I forget the percentage of crimes, that 76% of felonies are dealt out. They're gone. The Manhattan DA, right? They don't point to the DA. What do they tell you? Manhattan DA is my partner. Queens DA is my partner. Bronx DA is my partner. Brooklyn DA is my partner. Staten Island DA is my partner. And what is the Staten Island DA and all these DAs saying? You know, we don't want to prosecute. We want services. So they don't actually go and hone down on the problem. So in a way, they do deserve all the blame. They called out one judge, and it was the wrong judge. It was the wrong judge. So they don't call out. They don't call out the DAs. They don't let you know how many people are getting their cases dismissed every day. They don't tell you about the judges, what's going on with that. These are simple things that could be done professionally. You don't even have to put the judge's name out. He was let out in this circuit court. This DA's office leads them out. They don't do any of that. They don't tell you any of that. Because so at the end of the day, I guess they are to blame.
You know what? If I was in their positions, what I would do to remain professionalism at the same time counteracting the public, I would hold a press briefing every morning. And I would say, look, we have a complaint initiated to the Civilian Complaint Review Board. This perpetrator was arrested 25 times. He was just arrested his 26 times. Here is his complaint. He has, out of his 26 arrests, 20 are felonies. But what the public doesn't tell you is that he only has two convictions. And one of those convictions was only a violation. So he's running around with 26 arrests. We've done our job. We arrested him 26 times. But the stakeholders, which they're afraid to say the names, the DA, the prosecution, only convicted him twice. And yet my police officer has to fight for his career for this civilian complaint. They don't tell you. Look, we had an arrest yesterday. This person was in possession of a firearm. They have 45 arrests, and they only have one conviction. The stakeholders on the other side of the contrast are not upholding to their job. Who are those stakeholders? Say who they are. Alvin Bragg, Darcel Clark. Say who these stakeholders are. But just like you said, when they had an opportunity, when they actually accused one of the stakeholders, they were wrong. Why are they wrong? Because you and I understand the silver linings of this job. We know that John Schell doesn't touch anything himself. Everyone else does the work for him, including Kaz Daughtry. I actually question who actually wrote that tweet for him. It's quite interesting. Who actually wrote that tweet? Because I find it hard-pressed to believe that he actually wrote it himself.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't think, like, every day I don't think they could go any lower. And every day they go lower. Every day they disgrace themselves. They embarrass the police department. They embarrass themselves. But they think they're doing a great job. They're surrounded by yes men. They're surrounded by, like, who was that fat detective that was bashing us, that was coming on social media on, what was his name? Dave Rockenberry.
Dave Rockenberry. Dave, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, Dave, how you doing? What size bra are you up to now, Dave? We'd like to know.
By the way, he works in the chief department's office.
Works in the chief department's office, yeah. So they're surrounded by people like that. They have no courage. They have no integrity. They have no spine. They have no opinions of their own. They just do what they're told, right? Oh, I don't care. I'm getting 2%. You guys are retired. You can't do that. You can't talk about us. You can't talk about the police department. I'm worried about what we're doing, right? Guy follows he's probably still following every Instagram post we do, every tweet we do. I mean, these people are pathetic. They're pathetic souls. They're confused souls. Honestly, I don't know. I honestly don't even want to talk about them anymore. This is disgusting. The video speaks for itself. You could just play that video and you'll be left speechless. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. I really have nothing else to say about this other than they're attempting to install state-run media. They should be held accountable. I believe at this point, even what they did to us in the past with sending the honorable police commissioner's cokehead buddy to try to threaten me and think he was going to scare me, and then the honorable police commissioner's A-team to try to threaten us and scare us, and then the honorable police commissioner's other buddy who sent death threats about our children. You know, I believe all of these individuals are corrupt. They lack integrity, and they do not deserve to bear a shield or any authority whatsoever in New York City or the New York City Police Department.
Well, what does it also prove? It also proves that they actually are taking leadership, right? Because what he's saying is, I created this, I did this, I did that. So what does that lead me to believe? Solidifies everything we're saying. Yes, Kaz Daughtry. You sent. It's every reason to believe that you sent your henchmen, your dogs, to come attack this particular podcast. It's obvious. You said it. I do this. I do that. I create this. So nothing moves right now without you. So it's a reasonable person would believe that you sent your henchmen to come attack us. And if not, come on this podcast. Tell us how you have men and women in this police department running around going against your leadership. But you won't come on this podcast because you know that we're right.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. They have people in all their offices, including in Tony Kinsella's office, calling everyone I know. Oh, you know McCary, you know this one. But you're all a bunch of cowards because you have my phone number. Pick it up, use it. You want to have coffee? Let me know. I'll meet up with you. You want to talk to me? I'll come out to One Police Plaza. Like, I'm not afraid of any of you. I honestly have no respect for any of you. I'm a civil individual. I'll come up and sit down with you. I don't care. I'll talk. But everybody, no one's civil with me. Nobody's civil with Eric. Nobody's civil with us. You act like you're thugs. You act like you're mobsters. But this kid's so egotistical, so thin-skinned. You know, it's not even funny, Eric. It's really not. It's not. It blows my mind again that the media never wrote about any of this. We're getting attacked by their A team, by the team he created, and he's up on stage saying this. I'm just gonna play this one more time for you. He's up on stage saying this as we're being threatened, as all this stuff's going on. He's up on stage doing this.
There's a handful of retired officers that don't live in the state that have a lot to say about the dream team, as I like to call it. All of a sudden, they retire and have a master plan on how to fight crime, but nothing to contribute when they were here. They want to come back and be part of the dream team. What can I say?
Well, you have it right there. That was the inception of the attack on media, right there, led by Kaz Daughtry. He said, the dream team under me, and what is so important to understand is that John and I both said it on this podcast. We said it numerous times, and we also said it on social media, that if these attacks go ignored from this podcast, then who's next? Will they attack other journalists? And sure enough, we foreshadowed it, and they sure did. And we're at this point right now. And finally, the media actually took compassion because it was Harry Siegel. But why not us? Are we second-class citizens because we were members of the New York City Police Department? Are we not part of the people? Do our opinions not matter? And that's what we see. We see that there was some compassion and concern that Harry Siegel was attacked on media. But there's no concern that John and I were attacked because we were law enforcement. And there's no concern on the attacks of Mike Colon because he's pro-law enforcement. So we see a pattern here. We see a pattern. And it's time that the media addresses that any attack on media, just like we say opposition meets opportunity. If we, because we were law enforcement, are your opposition, you still have to support us because what we are doing is expressing First Amendment speech, which is the same thing that you're doing in journalism.
Yeah, so I think that we're looked at in society, not just in media, as we're just like them, right? We did all that stuff and now we're mad for whatever reason. And now we're speaking out, but we should have did this before. And why do we ever even become cops? And like, there's a lot of that going around. But I'm here to say, we were never like these individuals that are sitting up on that dais. We were never like those. Not one time. There's not one ounce. At my weakest moment, I was never like any of them. Same goes for Eric. Same goes for Sal. I mean, I'm flabbergasted by the whole thing, and I'm completely disgusted. I'm completely disappointed. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to even say that I worked for the New York City Police Department at this point. Like I really am. And to see the level, how we were treated, how I was treated through the mandate, how Eric was treated for going out and getting guns in the street, how Sal was treated because he supports Donald Trump and he's friends with Roger Stone. to see how we were treated then. And then when we forge a new path and we're just giving our opinions on things, literally giving our opinions and making satirical memes that you guys laughed about, you send people to threaten us, threaten our kids, threaten our lives. I mean, absolutely, I'm embarrassed for yous. I'm disgusted for yous. And that's why I consistently say I have zero respect for you whatsoever. But you guys all have my number. You know, as much as I have no respect for you, I'm not afraid of you. Pick up the phone, call me. We'll have a conversation. Come on the podcast. You want to talk offline? Let's talk offline. You want to go meet somewhere? We'll meet. I don't understand the angst that this upper echelon has for people expressing their opinion and why they believe that people aren't entitled to their opinion. I don't agree with Edwin Raymond. I sat down with him last night. We had a great conversation. It is what it is. I still don't agree with him. He still doesn't agree with me. Why? So we have to hate each other?
Absolutely. I have even more respect, you know, for people like Edwin Raymond. Exactly. Because he's willing to have the discussion and he had the conversation, whether in agreement or opposition. And those are the people I respect that are willing to have a position, have a stance. I respect people that have a stance in opposition more than people that pretend to be in line with me when they know that's not really the truth. And that's what I have to say about the upper management of the New York City Police Department. That's the comparison to John and myself. We were the same people while we were employed by the New York City Police Department. And in retirement, we remain the same people. We have showed more stoicism and professionalism in retirement on social media and actually doing this podcast, far more surpassing the professionalism, that the lack of professionalism displayed by John Schell and Kaz Daughtry and Michael Kemper and Mayor Eric Adams himself. Absolutely, we have showed more professional. That's why I've said before on earlier podcasts, I'll say it again. We're not concerned if we get recorded or caught talking offline because it's going to be the same conversation that's on this podcast. It's the same conversation on the job as it is afterwards. But for Michael Kemper and Kaz Daughtry and John Schell, Mayor Eric Adams, they have to be and Kaz Daughtry, if I said already, they have to be concerned about what they say on the job and then after the job, because I'm sure it's not going to be the same conversations. Again, some of these people have pled guilty to untruthful statements. Not something I would be willing to plead guilty to. Not at all. With that being said, you got any closing arguments? I think this is enough beating this down. I appreciate it.
I think we should call Kaz from this point on Kaz Jong-un, because I think that's who he is. I think he's Kaz Jong-un, and he's that's just what I see from them. They're the arm of the Communist Party. You will not speak out. You will not give your opinion. Crime is down. Crime is down. You hiding any memes in here, young man? You hiding any memes? You know, so that's them. I got no closing. I got nothing really to close on. I'm absolutely disgusted. And we're going to continue what we're doing, right? We're going to continue to put out content, continue to give our opinion, continue to drop memes, continue to give our opinion on tweets, continue to go out in the media and advocate for you guys. And I'm going to continue to call out the nonsense from the upper echelon. We're not going to back down because they're going to go on the offensive. Their offense is a terrible offense. It's a terrible look. It's actually making the New York City Police Department look childish, immature, and who ultimately pays for that is the rank and file, right? The people that are actually out there doing the job, not the party police that are up in one police plaza. So grow up, guys. To you guys that are still out there, thank you. Stay safe. Remember, whatever these guys tell you, take it with a grain of salt. Take it where it's coming from. This is who they are. Screw them.
Outstanding, brother. You're right. Outstanding. You know what? Especially right now, you know, mourning the murder of a fallen brother. To hear this stuff right now, it's just absolutely disgusting. We have your back. You have our full support, rank and file. John, I say it all the time. We're going to say it again. We don't just support you in death, but we support you in life. This is the only entity that supports the rank and file in life. We honor you while you're living. We thank you because we were there. The men and women that are still out there right now, you're doing the job. Thank God for you. Honestly, thank you for everything that you do. I have nothing but respect for you. New York's Finest Retired Unfiltered Podcast. You know where to find us. Look us up anytime. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Law enforcement professionals dedicate their lives to serving and protecting our community. But who's protecting their financial futures? That's where Laidlaw Blue comes in. Our wealth management platform is specifically designed for the law enforcement community. Laidlaw Blue is a division within Laidlaw Wealth Management, run by retired New York City detective John McDermott. His status as a retired detective uniquely positions him to establish a deep connection between Laidlaw Blue and the law enforcement community. Our platform is easy to use and provides a range of financial services, including investment management, retirement planning, and insurance solutions. With Laidlaw Blue, you can secure your financial future and provide for your loved ones. Our team of experienced financial advisors understands the unique challenges and opportunities that law enforcement professionals face. We're here to help you navigate the complexities of financial planning and achieve your goals. Laidlaw Blue, secure your financial future today. Book a meeting using the QR code displayed or call us directly on 888-901-BLUE. That's 888-901-BLUE.